are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this New Year's Eve edition of the program. The 2018 regular season is over. The 2018 season completely for the 49ers is over following a 48-32 loss in Los Angeles to the Rams. 49ers finished the season 4-12. Going to get into some of the particulars from that game and talk a lot about the draft, which becomes, it's officially draft season now for 49ers fans and for us here on the Locked On 49ers podcast. So we'll talk about what happened, where the 49ers shuffle in the draft order for the 2019 draft. And then we will talk a lot about the draft nearly every day for the next 5 months until April, until the draft actually comes. And then beyond the draft and go back and look at the 49ers players that they actually do select in the draft through May. So it's going to be a lot of draft talk. There's going to be some free agent talk as well. A lot of that here on the program. Everything through the offseason, we're going to keep going daily, 4 days a week instead of five now, switching into offseason mode. So we'll still be here with you 4 times per week at Locked On 49ers and breaking down every angle of the offseason. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we are everywhere that you can find podcasts, as are all the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. Go check on a really cool episode of Locked On Hawks, hosted by Brad Rowland. He got the GM of the Atlanta Hawks on his program, so if you're an NBA fan, go check out that one. He was celebrating his 500th episode over there on a Locked On Hawks and pulled the GM onto the program, which is a great get for him. So a lot of big things happening on the entire network. Of course, Locked On NFL Draft is going to be a big season for them now heading into the offseason. Trevor Sikkema and John Ledyard, who are friends of this program, who would like to join me here on the show occasionally and talk 49ers specific draft stuff, and they will continue to do that this offseason. But John Ledyard on Twitter teased a little bit. So on Monday's Locked On NFL Draft, when you're done here, you're going to want to go listen to that. He said he had something special for 49ers fans. They're going to want to tune in as he talks about what to do with the number two overall pick for the 49ers, which is what they will end up with for the time being. We'll see if that changes hands at some point this offseason. But the 49ers right now picking number two overall. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. I will be doing a mailbag episode on Tuesday, so start hitting me with those mailbag questions on Twitter at BD Peacock, or you can email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And man, what a simultaneously short and long season that was for the 49ers. A weird year that was almost a complete lost year. It was like that Jimmy Garoppolo torn ACL from week three was like a torn ACL for the entire franchise. It was like, okay, well, shoot, this year's not going to happen. We're going to have to wait until next year. And every football season is like, oh man, season's already over. That was quick. But man, it's tough to go through the loss after loss, especially coming in with high hopes. I think for most 49ers fans, had pretty high hopes, if not playoff aspirations, then at least, you know, a 500 team, an 8-8 team. And the 49ers finished 4-12, and as losses started to mount and as the middle of the season happened and there was no hope for victories and even moral victories at some point, I think towards the end of the season there were some better storylines which helped things out in December. Obviously a few wins helps, and then, you know, the Nick Mullins story of him coming out of nowhere and the undrafted guy and playing pretty well for the 49ers and thinking, okay, look, at least we have a long-term backup quarterback maybe, and I think that was a nice story. And then of course the George Kittle story, which is going to be a big part of the story of today's program, and that week 17 game against the Rams. Even though it was a loss, there was a really cool moments in that one, and more on George Kittle. Let's start actually with that the first three drives. And this game was over very early, and it started to be one of those situations where it's, okay, the 49ers aren't going to win this game. And I think it was actually after that first drive where the Kyle Juszczyk fumble, the Rams recover, and it sets up a Goff to Brandon Cooks touchdown pass for the early 7-0 lead for the Rams. And I think it was right after that I tweeted, look, okay, Kyle Shanahan's goal for this game isn't so much coaching for the W. He needs to make sure he targets George Kittle heavily, who was within reach of an NFL record of receiving yards for tight ends, and get some other players involved. Let's have some fun here. Let's get the ball in space to Richie James and see what he can do on offense, especially with Dante Pettis and Marquise Goodwin out. Let's see what Richie James can do, and let's see what Kendrick Bourne can do, and let's see how healthy Trent Taylor is and see what he can do. Get some jitterbug action in space. And so that's what the game was going to be all about for the 49ers. It was pretty clear early. And so 7-0 lead for the Rams. 49ers come out in the second drive. Same result. Dante Fowler and Aaron Donald meet at Mullins at the quarterback as he throws, and the ball flutters out of his hand as he's hit in the arm by Fowler into the hands of Corey Littleton. Littleton is not a member of the 49ers, a member of the Rams linebacking corps. And that interception sets up some tough running and a touchdown by C.J. Anderson, giving the Rams a 14-0 lead. And so basically with the scoreboard being a non-factor, the rest of the game, as far as I was concerned, was the Kittle watch. And that record within reach. And I think Kyle Shanahan was on the same page, because Kittle started to get very heavily targeted on that third possession and really for the rest of the game. And but that third possession ends in, you guessed it, a turnover. First three possessions for the 49ers ending in turnovers, 3 for 3. Mullins trying to get the ball to Kittle in the end zone. At least they had a nice little drive put together here on this third possession. But it's tipped up to a Rams defender for an interception and a touchback. And the 49ers at least would not give up a quick touchdown after that one, because the Rams would have been forced to march down the field and not had a turnover in their deep in the 49ers territory. But the 49ers would hold on defense. Later on in the quarter, Robbie Gould kicks a field goal, 14-3 Rams at that point. And I'm going to go through this game a little bit fast, because some of the details, let's face it, week 17, 49ers season is over. I think we're all officially in off-season mode, but there are some things that are definitely worth talking about here in this football game. Real quick, before we take the first break, I'm going to throw this out here to the folks on Twitter and Facebook and on social media. What do you think? 49ers team MVP. I'll probably get together with a Wink. And by the way, since it's the off-season, we're not going to be doing those crossover episodes on Wednesday, so we'll probably get back to the traditional Winky Wednesday episodes with Nick Winkler and have those hit on Wednesday mornings. And so, and I'll also be doing that jersey giveaway and picking a winner on Wednesday's podcast. But when it comes to Robbie Gould, it got me thinking. 49ers take a 49ers cut the Rams' lead to 14-3 after that Robbie Gould field goal. But team MVP, I think Robbie Gould deserved to be in the conversation. I would put the rankings as George Kittle, DeForest Buckner, Robbie Gould, then maybe Richard Sherman. Maybe some other guys could be part of that conversation in the top five there and have the fifth spot. But I think it's a pretty solid top four if I was ranking MVPs for the 49ers season. But I'll put that to you guys out there on social media. Hit me up on who you think the 49ers team MVP power rankings would be, because I think we all know who the MVP award would actually go to if it only went to one guy. All right, let's step away for a quick break and then come back, finish up some game notes here. We'll give out some game balls and we'll talk NFL draft position that has now been finalized for the non-playoff teams. And isn't football a little bit more fun? We've got a little action on the games. You've heard me talk about this for weeks, and some of you are still on the sidelines. So whether you're an expert or rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. Not just NFL. There's some other sports. NBA really getting in full swing now. Major League Baseball is going to be starting up in the not-too-distant future. It's already about a month and a half away from pitchers and catchers reporting. But whether you're an expert or rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, like playing the numbers on roulette, you can create a big parlay. Pick three teams to win, and if you hit all three, you could turn $100 into $600. There's so much to bet on right now. College basketball, NBA, NFL football, and playoffs are still going on now for the rest of January and into the Super Bowl in February. NHL, we got custom props, even esports, you name it. MyBookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with all year. Sign up this week, and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win. Also, be sure to follow at BetMyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every mention and DM. Not only that, they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted. Don't miss out on one of the best weeks to bet on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie right now and use promo code LOCKEDON and get 50% off deposit bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDON. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. I guess I'll take this opportunity to talk about my boy Richie James. It's my last opportunity this season. One thing I really like to see, but we never got to see it. There were numerous times this season where Kyle Shanahan lined up Richie James in an interesting spot, and I think something could have been fun or a fun play design. In this game, Richie James lined up next to Nick Mullins in the backfield on one play. Max McCaffrey also checked in for the first time for the 49ers at wide receiver. He was activated for this game. I didn't see much action, but the Rams would call timeout, and we never got to see what was going to happen there, which turned out to be a great move by the Rams because the next play, Mullins tried to force a slant pass into Richie James from the slot, and it ended up being a pick six. He was definitely not open there. That was an ill-advised throw by Mullins, and that would put LA up 21-3. And Mullins really in this game forced the ball into coverage multiple times and was getting burned on it. And was getting pressured just a lot like last week, getting a lot of pressure in his face, a lot of it coming from Aaron Donald, even though one big thing the 49ers did not do is allow Aaron Donald to break that sack record. Now, he didn't get close to that in this game. He needed, three more sacks, and he did not get those. Another Goff to Cooks touchdown put L.A. up 28-3, and then Richie James, my guy, got his first ever receiving touchdown of his career. And that would cut the L.A. lead to 28-10 at that point. But I really liked what I saw from Richie James this season as a rookie. It's always tough for rookie wide receivers. And the development of Richie James, getting some opportunities, although sparse and limited at some points, he made an impact on special teams last week. He caught the touchdown this week when forced into action, Richie James and Kendrick Bourne, they could hang, you know. And I think that's key for the 49ers because they're building some depth at wide receiver. I think they need talent at the top end still. I think they need a guy at that Z wide receiver position that most likely, I got to imagine at some point in the offseason, Pierre Garçon, whether it's early in the offseason before free agency or maybe it's like one of those June 1st cuts, whatever helps the cap, you know, massaging that cap is important. Maybe they want to wait until free agency in the draft just to make sure they've got themselves covered at wide receiver before they release some of the veterans that I think they might cut ties with this offseason. Really, all three of the major free agents they signed in that first offseason, Malcolm Smith, Pierre Garçon, and Earl Mitchell, those guys are going to start making a lot of money next year in their contracts. Some of them already make quite a bit of money for what they're producing for the 49ers. I'd be surprised if any of those three is actually on the 53-man roster. It's just a question of if they get cut early in the offseason or are there a post-June 1st cut. And so those cap ramifications are probably what will decide those things. But it's not crazy for them to hang around for a while just so the 49ers make sure they're covered at certain positions through, you know, after the draft and after free agency and then maybe cut those guys with the June 1st designation or into the summer. But anyways, getting back to Richie James, he can play. He can make plays. He belongs in the NFL. He's an NFL wide receiver. And so the 49ers have a nice bit of depth there, which helps. And I hope that seeing players like Richie James and seeing some flashes of brilliance from Dante Pettis, I just hope, you know, and Kendrick Bourne, I just hope they don't view that position as like, oh, no, we're pretty good there. Much like the pass rush, the edge rush group was last offseason where they, you know, they came out after the draft and it's like, you know, it's going to be really hard to take Cassius Marsh's job. I just don't want to hear them say that about Kendrick Bourne. You know, you're not just going to go take Kendrick Bourne's job. They need to still try to find an alpha wide receiver and still try to add talent there. And I'd be surprised if they stay static at that position, but I do like that they have built some depth. And so they're not forced to do anything crazy at the wide receiver position, but they do have to still try to add talent and try to add some big time playmakers to compete with some of these high scoring offenses in the NFL, like the Rams, who can put up 48 points on you. Moving on to halftime, the Rams would sneak in another field goal before the half. So 31-10 Los Angeles at halftime. And then coming back in the second half, it was a lot. For me, it was a lot of keeping one eye on the 49ers game. It was the George Kittle watch, but I had that muted on the TV and I had the Cardinals game going on because that was important. And so the second half of the game, I was really keeping an eye on that Cardinals and Seahawks game because, surprisingly, the Cardinals were close. And the Cardinals darn near knocked off the Seahawks, which would have given the 49ers the number one pick in the NFL draft. And anyway, more on that in just a little bit, but that was not to be. But anyway, in the second half of the 49ers game, there was an Alfred Morris touchdown run, and Jeff Wilson left the game hurt, so Morris got a lot of run, and he had, I think, one of his best games with the 49ers. He certainly got the most playing time he's gotten in since the very beginning of this season. And but Alfred Morris had a nice TD run sandwiched between a pair of Josh Reynolds touchdowns for LA. And at a certain point, the Rams had a 45-17 lead on the 49ers. And, you know, you knew the 49ers weren't coming back in that game, which is mostly why I was really paying attention to that Cardinals game, because that one was so interesting, and 49ers loss with the Cardinals win would have given the 49ers that number one overall pick. One thing I did see in the second half before we move on to George Kittle was Kendrick Bourne touchdown catch. I loved seeing some red zone execution, and Kendrick Bourne is one of the bigger, taller wide receivers on the 49ers, even though he's not very big. He's only 6'1", 190 pounds or something like that. But I love seeing the strong hands and seeing him use his quicks to get an advantage on that fade route, and got an advantage on the defensive back, had nice positioning, good throw by Mullins to give him a chance, throw it up early, which I think is what happens a lot of times on these fade routes, is the quarterback waits so long that they run out of space along the sideline. And I think a lot of what Kyle Shanahan likes to do when he does call these fades, I've noticed, is the ball comes out earlier. He wants to have space between the defender and the sideline for the wide receiver to work. And that worked to perfection here on this play, with Bourne being able to have some space. He had a little separation, was able to go up and get the ball, show some strong hands, got the 2 feet in down inbounds, and got the touchdown for the 49ers. So when the Rams got the ball back at the end of this game in the fourth quarter, it was clear, when George Kittle was only 9 yards away from breaking the record, that the 49ers were trying. And I love this from Shanahan, as he was unabashedly trying very hard to get the ball back. And I think everybody in the stadium, I think Sean McVay on the other side knew, and I think George Kittle himself knew, that the reason the 49ers wanted to get the ball back was so they could try to get that record for George Kittle. And Shanahan calling timeouts, and the Rams darn near took half of the fourth quarter on that last drive. For a second, you're like, oh man, are they actually going to run this whole thing out and the Niners aren't going to get a chance at the ball again to break this record for George Kittle? But they ended up getting that stop, and so the 49ers did get the ball back, and George Kittle emphatically breaks the single-season receiving yards record for tight ends with a 43-yard touchdown, a catch and run. More on George Kittle. Going to give out some game balls right after this. I'm going to end the charade and try to pretend there's anybody else that's going to get a game ball in this game. There's one game ball to give out, and it is to what I think is probably an easy choice as the 49ers MVP for the 2018 season, and that is George Kittle. George Kittle gets the final game ball in week 17 here for the 49ers. That play was, and he's had some of the biggest and most, like, you know, the plays that make you jump out of your seat. George Kittle has had almost all of those type of plays that have happened for the 2018 49ers. This time it was that 43-yarder, the catch and run, and it's the and run part that's been so special for George Kittle. That little extra burst when he saw a gap between the two defensive backs after he'd already broken the tackle from the first guy that tried to make a diving attempt at knocking away the ball, and he just kind of, you know, spun out of that semi-tackle, semi-pass breakup attempt. And then as he gets that head of steam and gets going, he's got that little extra burst. He saw the gap. He saw where he wanted to go with the ball in his hands, and he can hit that hole and then run away from defensive backs. That's a special ability that George Kittle has after the catch. He passes both 2012 Rob Gronkowski, who was, by the way, also in his second year in the league when he set that receiving yards record for tight ends, and 2018 Travis Kelce, who also broke the record earlier Sunday and only held it for less than an hour. George Kittle, 9 catches for 149 yards and a touchdown on the day, and the receiving yards wasn't his only record. Kittle's 2018 stats, that NFL record, 1,377 yards to finish the season, a team record, 88 catches for a tight end, only 5 touchdowns, which is a really interesting number for George Kittle and illustrates the 49ers' difficulties in the red zone this year. George Kittle, the guy who had 1,377 yards, broke the all-time record for a tight end who you would assume would be this, you know, red zone monster. For most teams that have really good tight ends, they're peppered in the red zone. He only had 5 touchdowns on the season, and 3 of those were 43 yards, 85 yards, 82 yards. He had a 70-yard score earlier in the season that he did, or a 70-yard reception that he did not score on. He fell just short. He only had 1 touchdown catch inside of 10 yards, and it was 5 yards. So he had 1 for 5, 1 for 10 yards, 43, 82, 85 yards, all long touchdowns. So that's one thing the 49ers can absolutely improve on in 2019, and something that should be something that Kyle Shanahan emphasizes this offseason is that red zone offense. And I think George Kittle can be a big part of that next year. But here's another record. George Kittle finished, this is from David Lombardi of The Athletic. He tweeted this one out, which is almost as impressive as the yardage record. George Kittle finishes with the most yards after the catch in the NFL, becoming the first tight end in NFL history to do so. This isn't just yards after the catch for tight ends. He had more yards after the catch than anybody at any position. Number one, George Kittle, he had 870 yards after the catch this year. Number two and number three are yak monsters. These guys are yards after the catch machines, guys that you would expect to lead the league in yards after the catch. Guys like Christian McCaffrey, who had 851 yards after the catch, and rookie sensation Saquon Barkley, who is fantastic in the passing game. He had 768 yards after the catch. George Kittle better than both of those guys and everybody else in the league this year, gaining yards after reception. So such a fantastic year for George Kittle. He gets the game ball here on Locked On 49ers, probably team MVP in 2018. And I think that's all that needs to be said there as far as George Kittle. Such a fantastic year and one of the big bright spots for the 49ers in a pretty dismal season that they end at 4-12. That 4-12 record, what does it get them? Well, that gets them the number 2 overall pick in the NFL draft. As I mentioned earlier, it was agonizing watching the Cardinals, reminiscent of the 2016 Browns, not be able to close out that game and pull out the win that would have put the 49ers at the number 1 spot. If you remember in 2016, and I had flashbacks to this, the Browns versus the Steelers in week 17, the Browns were given the game on a silver platter and they could not pull it off. There was one play where there was a couple plays that were crazy. There was one where it was a pick six, and the dude was about to score a touchdown, fumbles the ball at the goal line. All he had to do, he had the ball in his hands, walk over the goal line. Browns win, 49ers pick number 1 overall, probably have Myles Garrett right now on their football team. Instead, dude fumbles the ball, fumbles it out of the back of the end zone for a touchback. Another play, they had the ball on the goal line, and they couldn't score multiple times from like the 1-yard line, fumbled the ball there, gave it back to the Steelers. Like, it was agonizing, and it was unbelievable. And the 49ers, that 2016 game with the Browns losing to the Steelers, I think that one was worse because that game, or first of all, that offseason, I think Myles Garrett was just a more thought of as a generational talent. And the more, he was a little bit more than Nick Bosa, even as this guy's going to be the number 1 overall pick, and he's a freak of nature. Nick Bosa is a very good prospect and might go number 1 overall, but I don't think he had that level of athleticism and just like wow factor that Myles Garrett had in the lead up to the draft. The 49ers did actually get some help today, which I think made it not kind of as crazy as that 2016 week 17 was, because the of all teams, the Dallas Cowboys helped out the 49ers. And it was really an amazing catch by Cole Beasley, who probably deserves an honorable mention here. He was able to pull down a catch, got his knee inbounds as the Cowboys were able to beat the New York Giants, which was one of the tiebreakers because the 49ers played the Giants. That win was huge, and it was the last notch for the 49ers to have the tiebreaker over the other teams, especially the New York Jets, that also ended the season with four wins. So Niners, Jets, Raiders all have four wins. They're going to pick 2, 3, and 4, and the Arizona Cardinals are picking number one. And it was a guy that I'd never known existed before today. His name is Trent Sherfield. And to Josh Rosen's credit, he led the team down. They are in position to score late in the fourth quarter, just inside 2 minutes, or right at the two-minute mark. And Josh Rosen brought him down, and he dropped a dime over the middle of the field inside the 10-yard line to this Sherfield guy, where it's number 16 for the Cardinals. The ball, I mean, it wasn't like he's standing there still, ball bounces right off his chest or, you know, right off his face. It was maybe somewhat of a not orthodox catch where he's kind of going to the ground, but it was such a good throw right where it had to be by Josh Rosen. It's a catch every wide receiver in the NFL should be able to make, and it hit his hands, and he couldn't come up with it. And that set up a fourth down where Zane Gonzalez miraculously hit a 55-yard field goal, and that tied the game for the Cardinals, but that was just too much time, and their defense was terrible, and it was way too easy after the kickoff for Seattle to drive down the field and set up a Sebastian Janikowski field goal as time expired. So Seahawks ended up beating Arizona, and they would that would put Arizona at the number one pick of the draft. Niners picking number two overall, Jets 3, Oakland 4, Tampa Bay 5, New York Giants are 6, Jacksonville Jaguars are 7, Detroit Lions are 8, Denver Broncos 9, and Buffalo Bills picking number 10. So since the 49ers have a tie record-wise with the Jets and the Raiders, those three picks will alternate every round. So the 49ers, with the strength of schedule tiebreaker, are going to pick second in the first round. And then in the next round, they're going to bounce back to number four in the second round. And then the Jets and the Raiders are going to bump up one. So the 49ers are picking number two overall in the first round. Then they're going to pick number 36 overall, which is fourth in round two. So that's it. It's draft season. The draft order is set. We're going to keep talking about every angle of the NFL draft here on the program. We can start talking about more of it tomorrow if you want. Hit me up on Twitter at BDPeacock. Get involved with that mailbag show for Tuesday, or you can email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And I'll be back with you guys tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.